Let's pray for him and get in the Word. If you got your Bibles, let's head on over to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to open us up in prayer. Father, hey, we love you, Lord. We thank you for giving us an opportunity to get into your house one more time and to get into the Word. Father, we're praying over our brothers and our sisters and our family. Father, we lift up Rebecca. We're praying for peace and healing there in her home and wisdom on how to do things and to get stuff together and give her a spirit of power, Father, and encouragement for those around her. And we're praying for his children, Lord, that she can fill in that gap for them where she can, Lord. Lord, we pray over my baby, my grandbaby Judah, that this baby grows up strong in you, Lord. That as a family, we submit our life to you, God, and we raise this child in you, God, that we pour into this child godly things, Father, that we pray over this baby. Lord, guard her, watch over her, protect her. Father, we're praying over Kathy for healing in her body, praying over regeneration for kids to give their life to you, Lord, and be transformed. And the church said, amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, there's an old saying that says, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And I guess what they mean by that is that you're a lot like your parents. Is anybody here like their mom or their dad? And maybe, check this out, here's the interesting thing. When you were younger, you're like, there's no way I'm going to grow up and be anything like them. And then you grow up and you find out what? You're just like them. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You know, little brother, we call him brother. His name's Randall, my grandson, follows Randall around the house. Randall fixes everything. So what happens is this little boy, he's like a year and a half or something, walking around, and he's got these little drills, and he's fixing everything in the house. It's so cute. And what's even cuter is that when this boy bends down to pick something up, his dad's a plumber. This is so funny. You can't teach kids this stuff. His dad's a plumber. And so when this little boy bending down and he's drilling and he's doing stuff, man, it's crack forever. it's crack forever, this kid. And you look at him and you're just like, man, it's just he watches his dad and everything that they do. And the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And that's what Paul's been talking to us about as we get through in this, going through the book of Ephesians in chapter 5. He's like, listen, if you belong to the Lord, there's going to be change in your life. That you're going to be able to see a difference that God is making in you because you're his kid. And if you're his kid, you know, like we just got done saying, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And so Paul's going to tell us a couple things about what it's like when we start living like the Lord, when we start representing God in our communities and our families, and we're to imitate him, Paul says. Check out verse 1. And in verse 1, Paul says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. And so what Paul's doing when he says therefore, we ask what it's therefore. And it's because he just got done saying, forgive as Christ Jesus has forgiven you. Do you know that we forfeit every right to hold grudges, bitterness, resentment, payback? Because everything God has forgiven in our life, every single sin you've ever did, gonna do, or are into now, God's forgiven it, and he's paid the penalty in Jesus Christ. So we forfeit the right to hold on to it, to keep it. And you know what? By the way, God doesn't want that stuff ruining your life anyway. You need to forgive it and forget it. That's what he was saying. And sometimes we have a problem with forgiveness, don't we? That's one of the hardest things that we can deal with, is learning to forgive other people. He's saying imitate Jesus. That's what he's saying. And that's why I kind of like Peter, because Peter had a hard time forgiving people, didn't he? You remember, Jesus, how many times am I supposed to forgive this guy? 7 times? And he thought he was being generous. And what did Jesus say? No, I didn't tell you 7 times. I told you 70 times 7. And that's where Peter's like, man, I'm going to lose count. Like, what happens if I forget? And Jesus is like, yeah, man, that's kind of like the idea. You're going to end up forgetting. Not 70 times, but 70 times 7. And a lot of time we want to forgive people. And it's hard. And sometimes people have a problem with forgiveness because they don't realize how much they've been actually forgiven. Jesus said that. He who loves little or has been forgiven little. He who's been forgiven little loves little. Now, Jesus wasn't saying that people have been forgiven little. They just realize, they don't realize how much they've been forgiven, so they see it as little. And when you lose that enormity, that feeling of, man, God, you've forgiven me of so much, that's when we fall into not being able to forgive others very easily, because we forget. Those who have been forgiven little love little. It's not that they've been forgiven a little, they just don't see it as a lot. And so Paul says, listen, I want you to imitate God. How do we do it? He says, like little children. You know how kids imitate you? They'll put on your high heels, they'll put on their work belt, they'll do all this stuff. You guys remember doing that? And we got to be careful. Listen, if you've got kids and people look up to you at home, you better be careful of who you're imitating. Because if they start seeing anger in you, Dad, when you come home, if they start seeing worry in you, Mom, when things aren't going right, when they start seeing frustration, I'm going to tell you now, it's going to affect our kids. And when they grow up, you know what they're going to be dealing with? Frustration, anger, and worry. And instead, what we got to do is press on and imitate Jesus. If we're going to imitate anybody, who should it be? Man, it should be Jesus. Let our kids see that we're going to Him when you're worried, when you're frustrated, when you're upset. You're praying with your kids. You're saying, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm not going to worry about it. I know God's got this. He's never let me down before. He's not going to start now. And the kids start seeing that. He says, imitate God as children. And if you're going to imitate anybody, church, it better be Jesus. Listen to this. He was a man's man. He wasn't some guy that looked like he just shopped at Oceana all the time. Walking around with it, and if you shop there, it's up to you. I'm into box food my own self. But he's not, this isn't the Jesus walking around with a little lamb on his, you know, going to Oceana all the time. He was tough. He'd stand up for women when no one would stand up for women. Do you remember that? That one girl, she had a bad day. She got caught messing around. It was more of a setup. And you had all those men around that woman accusing her, and you had one man standing up defending her. Who was it? He says, not on my watch. I know she's messed up, but you all are dirty too. When the soldiers came to arrest him, and he says, who are you looking for? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I'm he. And you know what they did? Boom, they fell backwards on their back. When he was before Pilate, he was in total control. He wasn't freaking out. That's a man's man. When you can keep your stuff in check and defend people and stand up for what's right, if you're going to imitate anybody, we need to imitate who? We need to imitate Jesus. We got people today trying to imitate all these other people. Kim Kardashian. Girls in the gym doing butt exercises because they don't want to work nothing. They want to be like Kim. You guys know what I'm talking about. Let's be real. We can keep it real. Rolling around like Eminem. Forget all that. You know who you want to be like? You want to be like Jesus. Those people are, that's a joke. And so one of the ways that we're like Christ is that Paul says we imitate him by, check this out, walking in love. Verse 2, walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us as an offering, as sacrifice to God, as a sweet-smelling aroma. In the Greek, so it says for us, himself for us, but what it means is instead of us. That's what Paul's saying, instead of us. So instead of you receiving God's wrath, Jesus took it. Instead of you receiving the punishment, Jesus received the punishment. Instead of you getting cut off and facing those consequences of your sin and all of that stuff that came with it, he said it all got poured out on Jesus, the wrath of God. Instead of, not for us, instead of us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now, thank you, God, for not pouring that stuff out on me. Thank you, God, that I can walk every single day not worrying that you're going to pay me back for what I did then, now. Do you know that? God's not looking to pay you back. God's not looking to, he's looking to transform your life and to make all things new. He's not out to get you. He died for you. It says, instead of, the one who knew no sin became sin that we may become the righteousness of God. Man, I love that about the Lord. Paul says, walk in love. And remember, this is important. As we get into what we do for God, we do it from a place of what he's already done for us. Paul started this out. Do you remember? He said he raised us, he saved us, raised us, and sat us down. That means whatever we do it from a place that's already been done. And what happens if you start telling people to do stuff before they realize what's already been done? They're going to become legalistic. It's not going to be a relationship. It's going to be rebellion. But you know what we got to start telling people? This is what I tell them. Relax. Chill out. Know God. Enjoy His favor. Experience His grace. You know, sometimes we get people come to church, they're like, man, I don't know what to do. I'm just trying to come to church, figure stuff out. This is kind of new to me. You know, I'm not sure about all this stuff. Good, that's okay. Sit, relax, enjoy God. I just wanted to give you a break for a second. Listen, before you do anything, realize what's already been done. That's how we got to operate. And it's kind of like the way Paul looks at it is like, kind of like when you give somebody a hug. You know, some people, how many huggers do we have in here today? I'm a hugger. And some people are not huggers. And so if you ever try to hug who is not a hugger, it gets weird, doesn't it? Vicky is like that. She is definitely not a hugger. And my wife. So when she wakes up in the morning, the first thing I want to do is, guess what? I want to give her a hug. And so I'll go up to her, and this is what it feels like. How you doing, baby? Good morning. I got coffee. And I promise you, this is what it feels like. Cold. Hard. Don't touch me. She's not a hugger. She's not a hugger. But normally what happens is when you hug people, you know what they do, even if it's weird? They're like, I guess, like that's how it works. Yeah, when someone hugs you, if they're not a pervert, it's like you give back the hug, right? You're like, man, okay, it's kind of challenging me. It always cracks me up because listen, I know who's huggers and who's not huggers in here. I'm the pastor, I know. And it always cracks me up when we see new people come in, they go to give someone a hug that they don't know. And I'm like, I'll say, hey, this is going to be good. Watch this. And it's the most awkwardest thing. They're just like, do what you got to do, right? Do what you got to do. But we hug. And so we hug back. And so God's like, listen, I've hugged you. And so listen, I want you to start hugging back. This is what Jesus said in John 13:34. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I've loved you. Love one another. John 13:35. By this you'll know that they will know you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. John 15:7. These things I command you, that you love one another. Why did Jesus command it? Because he knew we would have seen it as a suggestion and then instead of action. And it's a command. Love those around us. And that's one of our biggest problems. Matthew chapter 5, verse 46, Jesus says, for if you love those that love you, what's your reward? Even the tax collectors do that. If you're just loving people who are cool and love you back, what good is that? What good is it? And I think about there's an old cartoon guy named Barney. And he's this big, ugly dinosaur. And I remember him because we painted our church out there and someone said that our church looked like his color. And he had this song, I love you. See, we grew up on, well, my kids grew up on that. And we're all a big family. But hey, I'd like to see how Barney did with somebody that didn't love him. Let's see that side of you, Barney. Let's see how you do with that. I love you, you hate me. What? Then it's going to be on, right? Hey, Barney, get real, man. Because that's hard. It's like we love people if they love us back. And Jesus is like, listen, I'm not telling you that love, that's what's easy to love. But what's hard to love And that's our problem. We don't love. And you're like, Jason, you don't know nothing about me. I love so deep. Haven't you seen my Facebook? I've got 50,000 pictures of my cats on there. How are you going to say I don't love? I know a love you know not of. He's not talking about you and your bazillion cats. Stop posting about your cats. Post one cat a day. Try that. Bring it down a little bit. Bring it down. He's not talking about that. He's talking about loving people who are difficult and hard to love. Paul's like, notice he didn't say love people because they deserve it. Man, that's a big one. He didn't say that. And that's like when he didn't say that, that's where we missed our amen, because none of us deserved it. None of us deserve the love that God's given us. There's nobody in here. It's not because Jesus died for us because we're basically a good person, or we had a few hang-ups, or we had some issues. No, we were totally messed up. And God extended his love and his grace and his mercy to us in Jesus. And so the gospel is, we didn't receive forgiveness because we deserved it, but because of Christ's love when we didn't deserve it. Check this out. When we forgot him, he remembered us. When we left him, he came after us. When we disobeyed him, he forgave us. That's nuts. Paul's saying love as God loved you, not as people deserve. Because a lot of people don't deserve it. And that's our problem. We love based on performance. But God loves based on grace. It's because of grace that we have that love from God. And that's good. It's not on performance. Thank God he doesn't treat us like we treat other people. Because if when it comes to loving other people, man, I'll tell you what, if you cross me, if you don't help me, if you talk bad about me, or what, I'm done with you. And you know, people can even say, I'm sorry. And we get so nasty, we don't even listen to that. I don't even care that you're apologizing. I'm so mad at you. Doesn't even matter. But here's the good news. Listen, God loves on grace, not performance. That means you don't have to memorize the Bible. That means you don't have to show up all the time to every function that happens in the community. You don't have to talk to people when you come to church. You're going to be a creepy, miserable Christian. That's your choice, right? That's cool if that's how you want to roll. But you know what? God doesn't love you because we're doing that stuff. It's not performance-based. It's grace-based. Amen? Thank you, God, because I don't always hold up. I know you guys are a good group of Christians that you know, you got it down, but I'm still in a work in progress a little bit. So my wife says that I'm figuring out. Anyways, Paul says, start out walking in love and not in conditions, which is impossible for us to do. And that's why Paul was saying, listen, you got to be strengthened in the inner man, because it's impossible. So this is, verse 3 gives us a quick list of what love is not. And if you've been enjoying the sermon so far, now this is where it's going to get awkward and you're probably going to want to bounce. So here we go. You guys ready? Cool. So, but fornication, starting out good, right? But fornication and all uncleanliness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for the saints. And so he starts out with, listen, when it comes to fornication, get rid of it. And right there, that's where some young guy's like, Mr. Pastor, what's the Greek definition of fornication? Right? Right? Hey, what's the original tense of that? You guys know darn well what that word means. The first time you want to get into, what's it called, etymology or whatever, where you're learning about language, what's fornication exactly? You know what that word is? It's a big old fat junk drawer that has to do with a lot of stuff. You know, I got a drawer in my kitchen, and it's got nails in there, pennies, macaroni noodles, iPhone cable. I mean, it's kind of like, anybody got that drawer? It's like if you're starving to death, literally, and there's been a world war, you go to that drawer and you find stuff. We got this junk drawer. And that's what Paul's doing. He's giving us a big junk drawer. And he says fornication. And what it means is it means adultery, pornography, friends with benefits. all kinds of sexual stuff that's contrary to God. And right there, some guys are like, but what if she's hot? So's hell. What if she's like really into me? It doesn't matter. Paul's throwing it all into this big basket, and he's calling it for what it is. He's calling it a junk drawer for pornography and porn, and so sexual issues against God. And so the Ephesians, they were dealing with a lot of stuff. Sexting, trolling adult sites, hooking up online, sleeping around, doing dope, all this stuff. And Paul's talking to him. He says, listen, you guys need to come out from that. See, church was a place, believe it or not, where you went and you went and had sex with people. Did you know that? So like people weren't missing church. They're like, hey, it was like they would go, they had the Temple of Diana there, and part of the worship service was having sex with temple prostitutes. Yeah. So you imagine the churches, they had mega churches back then. It's like Wednesday night, and you know, you just wrap up with dinner and you tell your wife, you know, I think I'm gonna go to church tonight. See what happens. And the wife's, if it was Thursday night, she goes, hey, baby, you got the kids, I'm out of here, I'm gonna go worship. And they all knew what it meant. And it was this society that was totally corrupt. And they believed that love was love. Guy on guy, girl on girl, bi on straight, tranny on whoever. Like, it was just normal. And that's how they lived. That's what their society was. But you know what was happening is they were getting destroyed by this stuff. It was tearing their families up. It was separating them from God. Men believed that they should have three women. Come on, somebody say, don't get any ideas. Oh, you better say, don't get any ideas. They thought they should have three women. One woman to have their child, one woman to be a friend. Like, you know, we're going to go to the Blazer game and grab a couple beers and hot dogs. And then another girl to have that bed. And that's how they rolled. That's the society that they lived in. And for them, marriage was just a piece of paper. And I want to tell you guys here today, if that's your mentality of marriage, that's just a piece of paper, it's just going to be a piece of paper after you get married. Nothing going to change except for you're going to honor God. And you know, that's hard when you're young. And I don't know who I'm talking to. People watch this stuff online. But you know what? God wants us to honor Him. And when you're young and you're like, man, I don't know if I should get married. It's a big commitment. I don't know if I'm going to be a good man. I don't know if I'm going to be a good wife. I don't know how it's going to work out. I didn't have the best examples at home. I'm not sure how to do this. I don't know what to do. Vicky and I were like that. I was 19 years old when I met my wife. 19 years old. Lived in sin like crazy. With Vicky. And you know what happened? There was a point where we said, you know what, God? We're all mixed up. We don't know how to do this, but we're going to trust you. We're going to honor you. And we've been married 25 years, and everybody that knew us said, you're never going to make it. And guess what? They're all divorced. No joke. But it's because of the Lord and saying, God, we're going to trust you, that we don't have the answers. We don't know how it works out, but this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to honor you in my relationship, and then I'm going to expect you to bless it. So Paul, you know, is dealing with these issues. And like Beyonce said, if you like it, you need to put a ring on it, right? But if you shouldn't know if you like it anyway. Just get a ring on it and then figure it out later. Let me back it up a little bit. In fact, don't even listen to Beyonce. Forget all that. Here's the thing, though. So Paul's telling them, listen, a lot of what the world calls love is lust. And get it out. And here's why. Because it's not your identity anymore. He says you are saints, which is not fitting for saints, children of God, kings and queens. Don't be living like you're in the gutter when you belong to God. He sees you. It's like you got kids. You love your kids. You don't want them. I mean, you look at your kids and you're very particular about them babies. And so is God. And he's like, you're mine. You're a saint. And when we confess our sins and we give our life to God, you know what he does? He comes and he heals everything. Every sexual sin, all the fornication, all the stuff that we did that we thought was right, he makes right when we confess our sins to him. Check this out really quick. When he was right, when Paul was writing to 1 Corinthians, you know what he said to him? He goes, I'm going to present to you as an offering to Christ as a chaste virgin. And I'm like, Como, what? Do you even know anything about the Corinthians? They were so wild. Some dude was sleeping with his mom. Yeah. And you've watched porn a few times. This guy, this church was messed up. And he says, but listen, when you come to God and you confess your sins, he'll forgive it. He'll restore it like it never happened. How cool is that? Not to have shame, not to have condemnation, not to say, you filthy thing. He says, listen, I love you. Confess it. Let's forgive this and move on from this and do what's right so God will honor it. And so Paul tells him, he says, so that's walking in love. Walking in love is not, he says, verse 4, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but get rather giving thanks. Coarse jesting, locker room talk. That's what she said, jokes. And those are hard, right? Sometimes it's like, yeah, if you ever watch The Office, it's like, you're just like, oh man. And like everything is, that's what she said. That's what she said. He's like, get rid of that. Coarse jesting. By the way, it has to do with sexual intent. And I've never heard a girl be around someone who's creepy that talks like that and is like, you know what? That's the most degrading, foul, weird thing I've ever heard. I think I want to live with you forever. Like, let's get married. Let's do this. You're just creepy enough for me. No one's into that. And by the way, even when we do, I don't know if women do this. I don't know if they got weird talking like this with the ladies, but I will tell you this, the men sure got it. And it's creepy when the men do it. Because you're just walking away like, man, that guy's a pervert. Listen, nobody struggles with this one. This one should be an easy one. No one's going out of church today like, oh God, I just don't know how I'm going to stop talking creepy. Just stop. Just stop. Like, that's it. You don't even got to pray about it. Just, if you're like weird, making these crazy jokes, just stop. Just stop. And so Paul says in verse, check this out, verse 5, he says, for you know that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who's an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you. Say it with me, deceive. Deceive you with empty words, and because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. He says, don't be deceived. That's for the person who's like, yeah, but I went online and I saw that, you know, what women want. And it works. Don't be deceived. I got this creepy uncle that told me how to, you know, have a right relationship. Or the kid at school's telling me how to do stuff. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived about that stuff that people say out there. In fact, you know what the best thing to do? He says, don't be partakers with them. So if there's people that are all wrapped up into this stuff and you're looking for new people to hang out with and everybody around you seems to be kind of messed up, check this out. It's better for you just to stay at home by yourself with Jesus than going out without him. Get you some ice cream and a movie that you and Jesus can watch and stay at home and call it. It's okay. Call it a night. You can do it. And so Paul's like, notice he said, don't be partakers with them. He didn't say don't connect with them. Because that's a temptation that we have for ourselves. Is like, we're like, okay, I'm not going to have anything to do with anybody out there. I'm just going to do a holy huddle. I'll shop at Walmart at 10:30 on Tuesday night because nobody goes there. And I'll totally get myself away from everybody else around me. Paul's not saying that. Paul's saying don't partake with them. But listen, we don't want to we don't want to isolate, we want to infiltrate. We want to get into our community. And that means we can be friends with people who are messed up. We can love people who are messed up and going through things. We can connect with them, and we should be. This should be a church that goes out and is a light into our community, and that's what he's going to talk to next. So when you're talking to people, yeah, they might be caught up in some stuff, but if they're going through a divorce and they're struggling, you say, hey, let me pray for you. Or their kids, they're getting that phone call from school again that their kid is doing some crazy stuff. They don't know what to do. Hey, let me be with you. We want to be like that. We want to infiltrate. We don't want to isolate. That's how God wants us to do it. And so Paul says that one of the ways that we do that, check out verse 8. He says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. The fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it's shameful even to speak of those things which are done in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore it says, wake up you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Man, that's good. He doesn't say you once dabbled in darkness. Paul got straight up in our face. You remember, he doesn't care if he offends you. He's like, listen, you were not messing around with darkness. He says you were straight up darkness. And maybe someone's here today and you're in that place. And people look at your life and they think you got it together, but you're falling all apart. Let me tell you something about it. God wants to step up into your situation and light some things up like it's never been lit up before. You know what Jesus said? He said, whoever follows me, he says, I'm the light of the world. John chapter 8, verse 12. I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so if you're here today and you're in that season and nothing matters and it's dark and it's an ugly place in your life, I want to tell you something. Jesus wants to step into it and light it up. And so now Paul tells his friends who are Christians, he tells them, walk in the light. Walk in the light. And he says, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So what's he mean by that? Expose them. That doesn't mean you turn into creepy Christian and go and exposing everybody's trash. Do you know anybody like that? Oh, Jesus says to be patient, and you're not being very patient right now. Oh, Jesus says to share, and you're not sharing. Jesus says to be nice, and you're not being very nice. Jesus also did, don't kill, and I'm about ready to kill you. That's not how we go around exposing. You know how we do it? We expose by example, and we're getting ready to close out, so hang in there for like 5 minutes. We expose darkness by being an example of light. And so instead of picking out everybody's stuff, you know what? You be an example. You give. And it exposes greediness. You forgive. And it exposes hate. You be patient. And it exposes impatience. That's how you do it. You expose by being an example. You don't come and say, hey, pastor, you know, we need to pray for Pam and Jim, you know, I saw them at Moby Dick's. Yeah. And then they went on over to the adult store. And then from there, they went on over to the liquor store. And my first thought is, man, how come you following them all around? Right? How about you let these people alone, let them sin by their own self? Okay, they got that. They got that, man. You don't go out like that. So we do it by example. We don't want to be creepy Christian. And so Paul's like, listen, he wraps it up with this. He says, walk in love, walk in light. And now he closes it out with this, walk in wisdom. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. That's a word. Say it 10 times. Now not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. How? Good question. I'm glad you asked. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. It says that the path of the righteous is like the morning sun shining brighter till the full light of day. This is how we understand what the will of God is. Not by you sitting in a chair and just clenching your fist. Oh God, what is your will? What is your will? What is your will? Jesus is good. Satan is bad. Come on, download. Right? You're not going to get it that way. But you know what you do do? You do what Proverbs says, and God will give you a little bit of light to walk out on. And so you walk out on it. God will show you another thing. And so you walk out on that. And as you walk out and you step out in faith, you know what's going to happen to you guys? You're going to start becoming wise. You're going to start knowing how to live. You're going to have a connection with God like you never had it before. And so he says, listen, walk circumspectly, which means walk carefully. What Paul's saying is he's saying, listen, the days are evil, and so you guys need to be careful about it. Look around your life. Because your marriage may be good, your health may be okay, maybe your job's going all right. But there might be this one thing over here that's going to get you if you don't pay attention to it. It's kind of like if you're walking through a minefield and you're going through it, you're not going to skip through it. You're going to be looking around, you're going to be watching. And that's what Paul says, because sometimes you can be one step away from a detonation, boom, if you're not watching. One more time of dope, one more time of getting behind the wheel, one more time of flirting with somebody you should have done left alone years ago. He says the days are evil, so as you're walking, you need to be wise about it and be careful, because you can have a bunch of good stuff going on over here, but there's this thing over here, and it's going to get you, and it'll destroy you, and it'll wreck you. And he's saying, listen, be wise about it, for the days are evil. Because you know, we don't just fall into sin, we walk into it, right? Hello. I don't know how I had that affair. Well, let's see, you had to go to the hotel, right? You got Burger King. I don't know. Listen, walk in wisdom is all I'm trying to tell you. Verse 18, Paul's telling us, walk in wisdom. And the reason why is because we don't know how much time we got left. You don't know about tomorrow. You don't know what you're guaranteed. You know what you're guaranteed? Today. So make the best of it. Walk in wisdom. Let's close it out. Verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, in which to be filled with the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. He says in verse 21. He says in verse 18, don't get drunk. And that's simple. He's saying, don't get drunk. Now listen. When it comes to drinking, if you're 21, it's all good. You can have a drink. The problem, and by the way, I don't think you guys should drink. I'm not going to say it's a sin, because it's not. In fact, a lot of people have enjoyment in it. They do their micro brews, whatever they want to do, and there's enjoyment in that. And I could see that. I can definitely see that. So, like, I'm not preaching against it. I'm just saying I know another side of it. And so he's saying drinking's not a sin, but getting drunk is a sin. And so right there, someone's like, but pastor, it says don't get drunk with wine. It doesn't say nothing about beer. It doesn't say nothing about tequila. Hey, you know what? It doesn't say nothing about meth, weed, or Tide Pods neither. But the idea of it is not to have something have influence over you, but you have influence that you have influence over that, because we don't want to just escape our problems. God wants us to overcome our problems. Don't you know there's a big difference? He doesn't want us being tied up by that old stuff that we used to be tied up in anymore. And he says, being filled with the Spirit. And being filled with the Spirit is never a sense of lost control, but it's power for self-control. And he's saying, be filled. Listen. And the way that that happens is, you know, you get up in the morning and say, God, I need you to fill me up. And what's going to happen is you're going to go out. You're going to be like Jesus. You're not going to argue with people. You're going to be peaceable. You're going to be loving and forgiving and all that. And then about 3:30, you're going to start leaking. And that, and you, all that stuff's going to go out of you. And we all know that your willpower is not on will call. And you know what you need? you need God to fill you up again. And so we ask him, God, I need you to fill me up again. He says in verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Would you guys stand up with me? Submitting to one another. That's what God wants us to do. Hey, dad, husband, that means when you come home from a long day of work, you don't go around telling people, it's my way or the highway. Submitting to one another in love. Ladies, that means, you know, when you want to, if you got to punish him for something that he did, you're like, hey, you know what? I'm just going to, things are going to get real rough around here for a while. Kids, man, my parents are making life miserable for me, so I'm just going to be in total nervous breakdown and wish they never had me. No. Submit to one another in love. And this is what it comes down to, you guys. That what Paul just got done saying here is that he wants us to walk as authentic Christians, not fake ones. And so maybe you're here today and you claim, you say you're a Christian. You know, you gave your life to Jesus, but you've been keeping your life for yourself. This is a wake-up call. God wants to say, listen, I want all of you, not some of you. And I'm calling you to walk in authentic Christianity, not fake Christianity. And listen, some of you guys here are like, Jason, I've been walking with the Lord. I love him. But man, this last week, I've been messing up, been backsliding, been trying to keep it together, and I'm falling apart. Number one, I want to tell you this. God's love is based on grace, not performance. And you need to remember that. You need to remember that he loves you. He died for you. And you need to rest in that. But don't stay there. You need to get up and walk out of it. So this might be a time where you just want to confess that to the Lord and say, hey, Lord, I need you. Like Paul said, fill me up once again. Say it with me. Fill me up once again. So let's close out in prayer. Father, we come to you today. And we want to be authentic Christians, or we don't want to be fakes. We want you to really change our life. We want to really know you. And so, Father, I pray for the one who came in here today that maybe is living in darkness, that maybe is feeling just life is worthless, Lord, that there's no joy, there's no peace, there's no reason to live. I don't know who this is, but Lord, you know him. God's speaking to you right where you're at. He's telling you today is a day to make a decision. You may be filled with darkness, but he is the light of the world. And this is your opportunity to receive that and live by it. And Father, for the one who's been struggling this week, Lord, that they know that you love them, you died for them, and you sat them down in the heavenly places. And it's out of that place where you have hugged us, Lord, that then we return and we love those and hug those around us, God. And so, Father, I pray that you encourage them to pick up wherever they left off and they keep moving ahead. As your word says, though a righteous man falls seven times, he gets back up. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God praise this morning.